Mary Cassian describes the persistence of our Heavenly Father's love.
Our Heavenly Father doesn't give up on us. He comes and looks for us when no one else would, when everyone else would have given up.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth, author of Holiness, The Heart God Purifies, for Friday, June 13th, 2025. I'm Dana Gresh.
Well, as you know, this coming Sunday is Father's Day. And for those of you who do have a father here on this earth, I hope that you're preparing to express honor in a special way. Your dad may or may not have been the greatest dad in the world, but God promises a blessing to us when we honor our father and our mother. Now, over the last couple of days, we've been listening to a message by Mary Cassian on relating to God as our Heavenly Father. We'll get back to that important message in just a minute, but first, we asked Mary what she appreciates about her earthly father. I think her answer is an example of the kind of honor you may want to show to your dad this weekend.
When I think of my dad, I think of his hands. My dad has massive, massive hands. He was a carpenter and then went into construction and construction superintendent, a very hard worker. But those hands could do anything. They could fix anything that was broken. If it was bent, those hands could make it straight. I still remember sitting on my dad's workbench, and to this day, when I smell the smell of freshly cut wood, I just breathe it and I go, oh, that's my dad's smell. You know, that's that smell of building and constructing and making something. And even as I grew into being an adult, whenever, you know, there was something that we got stuck on, there was something that Brent and I couldn't figure out for the house, it was like, phone my dad. And dad would be over in a breath fixing it. He could fix anything. He could put anything together, anything that was busted, anything that didn't work. Didn't matter what it was, electrical, plumbing, anything, my dad could do it. And I love that because that really taught me a lot about the father heart of God. It really demonstrated to me what God is like. And not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm, my dad was very much like that. That if it's broken, you can take it to him and he'll help you fix it. That if it's bent, he wanted to help make it straight. And just the constancy, when I think of my dad, it's like a rock solid foundation. It's like an anchor. It's like, you know, the boat isn't going to drift very far when dad is there because he's the anchor. And I think that that's just such an image also of the father heart of God. And just his care and sacrifice, his love for his family, his faithfulness, his constancy, his God is always at work for you. God always has a heart for you and just is so, so trustworthy. So I appreciate my dad for that. And when I think of the hands of God and what they must look like, I think of my dad's hands. And I say, Dad, you did well. You led me to the throne of God. And you showed me all the good things about what a father heart looks like and what God our Father is like.
How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Well, that amazing verse comes to us from 1 John chapter 3. We've been listening this week to a message by Mary Cassian. I don't know about you, but I have found this message so encouraging as we've been reminded that God wants to relate to us as Father. Now here's Mary with the final part of that message.
I live in a city, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And if you think of Western United States, Montana, and you go straight north, that's where I live. When I left, there was about 2.5 feet of snow left. There's a river that runs through Edmonton. Actually, Edmonton is a beautiful city. It has the longest extended parkway system in North America. Mm-hmm. You can get on a bike and ride for miles and miles and miles, and we often do that as a family. We ride together. And so there's this huge river, and into this river run a number of smaller creeks and streams, tributaries throughout the city. And I actually grew up right across the street from one of these creeks. The thing about ice and cold places is you learn to live in the cold and you learn to understand ice. Now, I'm sure none of you have a clue what I'm talking about, so I'm going to give you an ice lesson. You know what I'm talking about. Our river freezes in the wintertime. The river will freeze to a depth of probably about 4 or 5 feet, some places probably up to 10 feet deep. And the streams will also freeze, and we all get our skates and go skating in the wintertime. But the thing about ice is that it freezes from the top down, right? So there's a surface that forms on the top at first, and then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and it melts from the bottom up. So you don't know how thick the ice is, really, by looking at the surface. And this is what is very dangerous. And parents always warn their children in the summertime, right about this time of year, saying you can no longer go skating on the ice because you might fall through, because it could be 4 feet thick, it could be 2 inches thick. And so a number of years ago, I think it was 3 years ago now, just in that very same area that I grew up in, there were three boys that went down to play in the ravine. And one of their Hosiah, Mark, and Mark's little brother, two 11-year-old boys and one 6-year-old boy. And horror of all horrors, what happened was the ice cracked. They knew they had been warned not to go there, but they went to play anyway. And the ice cracked, and one 11-year-old boy and the 6-year-old boy fell in and started to be taken away by the stream. And the one boy, Mark, managed to reach out and pull his 6-year-old brother out, but Hosiah disappeared and went down under the ice towards the river. These boys were so terrified, they ran home, and they didn't say a word. So Hosiah's mother waited and waited, and Hosiah didn't come home for supper. And she phoned his father. They were divorced, and she phoned his father and tried to find out if Hosiah was over there, and he wasn't. And then they called the police, but there was no immediate panic because Hosiah had run away before. Mm-hmm. The next morning, the search became serious. They went to the school and began to question his classmates, at which time his friend Mark broke down and told the whole story. Well, they went down to the ravine and began to look, but it really was a useless kind of a thing. They would auger a hole and go through the ice and kind of look with mirrors and try and find, but there's like 2 miles of creek between the where he had fallen in and the river. And so the police, after a day of searching, said, you know, we cannot search anymore. This is really futile. And his body will wash up at the grade in the river when the ice melts in about 3 weeks, and we will find him then. But that was not good enough for Hosiah's father. And Hosiah's father went and rented the equipment that he could find. He got augers and mirrors, went down to the riverbank or to this creek and began to search for his son. Mm-hmm. And he searched and he searched and he searched, and he would not give up. Night came, he wouldn't give up. If you know what it's like working with frozen freezer food, you know your hands get raw and they get cold, they get cut. He would not give up. He searched and he searched, and this aroused the compassion of a whole city, and there began to be volunteers that all came and began to help him with his search. Day after day went by, and Hosiah's father kept looking until on the eighth day, they spotted a jacket and spotted the body of the little boy. Never knew how much his father loved him. He never knew. And isn't it the same way with us? I mean, so often we go where we're not supposed to go. We play where we're not supposed to play. We fall in through the ice. And all of a sudden we can find ourselves in dangerous water. Dangerous water. And even to the point of being swept away and carried away by the current. and perhaps even to the point of just feeling like there's no life left. And our Heavenly Father, our perfect Heavenly Father, even more than Hosea's Father, doesn't give up on us. He comes and looks for us when no one else would, when everyone else would have given up hope long time ago. And he would claw till his own hands bled, and in a sense they did they not, with his son Christ, to find us. And then when he finds us, he would take us and wrap us and cuddle us. But then, unlike Hosea, he leans over and just breathes new life into our spirits. And he says to us, I love you. Don't run from me. And that is the message of the gospel, and that is the message of hope that we need to be carrying to a generation of women who are broken. They are broken in their relationships with their husbands. They've been disappointed by men in their lives. Their fathers have abandoned them. But this is a message of life. It is a message of life, and it is a message of hope. And it is a message that they desperately, desperately need to hear. And I just think sometimes even we can become numb in our spirits and cold and frozen that way. I've frozen my feet really badly once, and you could actually take a barbell and drop it on your feet when they are frozen and you won't feel a thing. And many of us in the church are like that. We are numb and deadened and cold to the love of the Father. And he is wanting to breathe back life into our relationships, into our hearts, so we can be salt and light and hope. And say to women, come with me. I want you to meet my dad. Heavenly Father, I pray for your daughters here. I know that many of them have struggled in their relationship with their earthly fathers. And I know that there are women here who do not feel loved, that do not feel worthy, that feel that they need to perform, that feel perhaps that you love everybody else but not them. Lord, there are women here who you are drawing closer to your heart, and you want them to be able to forgive their own earthly fathers so that they can enjoy a deeper relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will come and convict each one of us of what we need to do to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's Mary Cassian reminding us that the message of the gospel is a message of hope, a hope that we need to take to the world today, a message that says, come with me to my Father's house. You know, as Mary talked about becoming numb and cold to the love of our Heavenly Father, the thought may have crossed your mind, I don't know that I've ever known the love of my Heavenly Father. Can I say to you today that God wants to be your Heavenly Father? But contrary to what some might say today, God isn't everyone's Father. The Scripture tells us that no one can come to the Father's house except through Jesus Christ. As we've been hearing all week long, that's why God sent his Son Jesus to this earth, to show us the heart of the Father and to provide a way through which we could get to the Father. So if you've never come into that personal relationship with God through his Son Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, just wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, to pause and say, oh God, I want you to be my Heavenly Father. I do trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want you to come into my life to save me, to change me, and to make me your child. Now, you may have had a relationship with God as your Heavenly Father for perhaps years. And maybe you realized as you listened to Mary's message today that your heart has become numb and cold to the love of your Heavenly Father. You know, it's not too late to return to him. And maybe you need to do what I've had to do from time to time over the years and say, oh Lord, I've gone so far from you. I've wandered down into that ice. I've slipped. I've fallen. I've backslidden. I need you to come and restore me. I need you to come and breathe new spiritual life into me. And as you ask him to do that, and then begin to get into his word, you'll find that your spiritual life is revived. It'll be resuscitated. And then just a final reminder that I picked up from Mary's message, and that is the importance that we take this message to those who don't have a relationship with God as their Father. That's one of the reasons God has left us here on this earth, not just so we can enjoy our own relationship with God as our Father, but so that we can reach out to others, take them by the hand, and say, come with me. Let me introduce you to your Heavenly Father.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. We've been listening to Mary Cassian's message, Embracing God as Father. If you missed any of it, visit reviveourhearts.com or find it on the Revive Our Hearts app. Mary will be joining us at the True Woman 25 conference coming October 2nd through 4th. She and Nancy will be speaking along with Kelly Needham, Jackie Hill Perry, and many other lovely ladies. And I'll be speaking too. We'll also get to worship with Christian artists Shane and Shane and Caroline Cobb. For more details, visit truewoman25.com. You can buy your in-person or online tickets there today. Now, maybe you're listening to Mary this week and you're desiring a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father. Friend, we get to know him through his word. And that's why I'm excited to offer you a book called Fly Through the Bible by Colin Smith. When you make a donation of any amount to support Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you this gift. This resource will help you find the right altitude to take in the big picture landscape of God's story. And once you know his story, you're well on your way to knowing him. Along with this book, you'll also receive a beautiful art print featuring Nancy's poem, The Word. It's a wonderful reminder of the gift it is to know God through Scripture. In order to donate, you can visit reviveourhearts.com/wonderful or call us at 1-800-569-5959. And when you do, be sure to ask for your book and art print so we can get that sent your way. Next week, I hope you'll join us here on Revive Our Hearts as we dive into Psalm 119 and cultivate a deeper love for Scripture together. Now, as we prepare for Father's Day this Sunday, Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth is back to tell us some of what she learned from her father.
I'm so thankful for the blessing of having had a dad who walked with the Lord from the time that he came to know the Lord himself as a young man, and who, as he raised our family, demonstrated to us so many aspects of the Father heart of God. My dad has been with the Lord since 1979. In fact, he had a heart attack and died instantly on the weekend of my 21st birthday. Some of you have heard me share about this before, but at the time, my mother was 40 years old, and I was the oldest of seven children, ages 8 to 21. Needless to say, at that point, we had a great need of God's mercy and grace in our lives. And it's been a beautiful thing over these years to see how God really does fulfill his promise to be a father to the fatherless. But it is also such a blessing to remember the name and the heritage and the life of a godly father, a man who walked with God, not perfectly. He would have been the first to tell you that. And certainly we knew in our family that we didn't have a perfect dad. But we all look back and we thank the Lord for a dad who really did show us so much of God's heart. I think, for example, of that verse in Psalm 103 that says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I can still remember that time when I was just out of college, and I had just broken off a relationship with a young man that I'd been dating. And although we both agreed that this was God's will, it was still a pretty emotional time for me. And I remember calling my dad, who was in a different state, and telling him what had just happened. And I'll never forget him saying, "Honey, do you want me to come down there and be with you?" And I sensed at that point what I had through all of my growing up years, and that is the compassionate, caring, tender heart of a father. And in experiencing that love for my dad, I came to know something more of the compassionate, tender, loving heart of God who cares for his children even more than an earthly father possibly could. And then I think about other qualities in the life of my dad. I think of his faithfulness to my mother and his commitment to the permanence of marriage. It's not that they didn't have their issues and their differences at times and their struggles in their marriage, as every married couple does. But we always knew that our parents were committed to each other. And my dad so often stressed that marriage is a vow of permanence. And he reflected in that way the covenant-keeping heart of God. And then I think of him as a hard worker and a good provider. In fact, he was a man who was always living and thinking in light of eternity, thinking about what it would be like when he faced the Lord and what he would have to offer the Lord when he stood before him at the judgment seat. And so his values were eternal. He loved to give financially to the Lord's work. In fact, he believed you just couldn't outgive God. And so in every area of life, his financial practices, his use of time, his business practices, he's a man who took God seriously. And I'm so thankful that Art DeMoss was actively involved in providing spiritual leadership for our family. I think of that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, "You know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." What a picture that is of a godly father. Paul says a father deals with his own children by encouraging them, by comforting them, and by urging them to live lives worthy of God. And I can think of so many times when either one-on-one or corporately as a family, my dad would gather us together and read the scripture to us, talk to us about the ways of God, talk to us about how to apply God's truth to everyday real-life circumstances and situations. Now, I don't want to leave the impression that life in the DeMoss household was one 24-hour day, round-the-clock devotional time or church service. That certainly wasn't true. We were a very active family, and all of us are, well, let me just say, we're a big Greek family, and we all like to talk and debate and often would interrupt each other. And there were times around mealtimes in particular, I can think of this, when there was a lot of chaos in our home. But my dad knew how to cut through the noise, cut through the chaos, and call our hearts and our attention back to the Word and the ways of God. He wanted us to follow Christ with all our hearts, to love him, to serve him, to obey him, and to take him seriously in our own lives, to live our lives in the light of eternity as he was seeking to do himself. Now, he also knew that part of a dad's role is discipline. And my dad was committed to correct us, to instruct us when we would get off the path. And there again, I think of a passage in Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer says, "We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they," that is our earthly fathers, "disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." And in my father's commitment, and my mom's as well, to make sure that we were living lives so we're under the authority of Scripture, and disciplining and correcting us when that was not the case, they were really teaching us about the ways of our Heavenly Father, who disciplines us when we need it for our own good, so that we can be partakers, as the Scripture says, of God's holiness. You know, something else about my dad that had an incredible impact on my life was watching him walk through seasons of stress and difficulty in our family and in his business life with a heart that never stopped trusting that God was in control and God knew what he was doing. Whether it was health issues in our family or financial loss, actually financial disaster at some points, I can remember during my high school years seeing my dad under intense pressure and at times intense opposition in the workplace, and watching him still have a peace and a joy and a confidence in the Lord that surpassed whatever was going on around him. And so as we approach this Father's Day, I just want to say from a daughter's heart how very thankful I am for the example, the legacy, the life of a dad who walked with God and who led his family to walk with God. And could I encourage any dads who may be listening to us today, regardless of how well or how poorly you feel that you have parented your children, Today is a fresh day. There is fresh grace. And as you seek the Lord, by God's grace, your children will one day be able to rise up and thank the Lord for the legacy and the heritage that you left to them.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.